All right, Genesis, the second chapter, verse number 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Let us pray. Father, again I thank you today for the wonderful Bible, the Word of God. Thank you for the privilege of reading it tonight, and Father, for the privilege of preaching from your Word. And Lord, we need your help tonight. We need your power, need your wisdom. And Lord, we need hearts that are receptive to the Word of God. And to the things, Lord, that you've put upon my heart tonight, we ask you, God, to use them to thy glory. And we'll thank and praise you for it. In the lovely, wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, we're going to spend some time trying to help us and do some just kind of reestablishing some thoughts about marriage. One of the most important things I believe today that we could do is to keep our families strong, keep them strong in the Lord. And marriage has got a lot of pressures in today's world that we live in. All kinds of pressures come upon it. And we need God's help in keeping good, strong marriages. The things that I'm going to say to you tonight is things that will help you. They're not designed in any way to condemn you. I don't know of any person on the face of this earth that is perfect, except there was one, the wonderful Lord Jesus. I don't know of anybody that can say, I'm a perfect husband, or I'm a perfect wife. I haven't found any. I think there's places that we need to increase our learning about how to be a good husband, how to be a good wife. We need that all the time. And so I think, though, tonight there'll be things here that will help you to understand a little bit about your husband and your wife. I think they'll help you. But I want you to remember something. They're there to help. They're there, and when I go through these things, I don't want you to look at your husband or your wife and say, boy, you don't do this or you don't do that. Please don't do that. That's the wrong purpose for this message. Amen. Be a blessing and help your wife to be a good wife and help your husband to be a good husband. Amen. And I believe that they'll help us if we'll just learn from them tonight. Years ago, I went to this is called a Bill Gothard seminar. Some of you know of Bill Gothard. He holds seminars. Now, it's not Bill Gaither, the liberal singer. It's not him. All right? It's not him. It's Bill Gothard. And when I say that, I haven't been to his seminar for years. But there was some things down through the years that certainly was a help to me that I learned from his teachings. And some of those you will hear tonight. And I want to give him full credit for that. As I said, I haven't been to his seminars for years. I've learned that what's much better than seminars is preaching. And but at the same time, I've learned things down through the years, and I want to give credit to those who have helped me to become, I believe, a better pastor, better teacher of the Word of God. And I want them to have credit for it. I've learned from multitudes of people. I read different people, and sometimes when I read them, I know that I do not agree with all that they present, but I pick up truths from them that has helped me down through the years. And that's, to me, what it's all about. And so tonight, as I said, some of these things will, I believe, be a help to you. Some of those things that you'll be hearing comes from some of his literature. First of all, I want to share with you some purposes for marriage. One of the first purposes for a marriage is to have companionship. God intended And as he said in his word, it was not good for man to be alone. And God gave a wife to a man so that he might have companionship, and she might have companionship. Companionship is very, very important to an individual. The Bible tells us, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Companionship is very important, and that's why it's very important that we as a husband and wife agree on certain things and are headed in the same direction. I think I made light message of mention of it this morning when I is either in Sunday school or church service, and I can't remember which, but when I mentioned the fact it's very difficult for an unsaved person to be married to a saved person, that's very, very difficult because it puts a lot of stress in there that should never be in there. So that's why God wants a man to marry a saved lady, and vice versa. That's the way God set it up. That's what he wants. He doesn't want us to be unequally yoked together. So there is companionship, and it's important. Companionship is important. I've thought of this, and I think about it when I think of our dear widows when I pray for them. I think it'd be a very difficult thing to go home and not have a companion to go home to. You've spent a lot of years with a certain individual, and they become so important. I know there'll be times I'll say, man, I want to tell Donna that when I get home. I want to share something with her when I get home. You know, to me, that's very important. Whether it's a man or a woman that loses their loved one, it's very, very difficult, I believe. So companionship is one of the main purposes for marriage. The Bible tells us that marriage completes the man. A man is incomplete unless he has his wife. That's why God gave a wife to a man to be complete him. He needs to be completed. And that's the reason God gave a wife to a man. One of the reasons. Another reason is for fruitfulness. God intends, because he told them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. It is right and proper for it to be fruitful and to bring children into this world. That's right and proper. But don't be discouraged if God does not give you children. That's within his hands. You cannot help that. If God does not give you children, you cannot help that. If you're not doing anything to stop it, you cannot help that. What I would say to you is pray, go to the Lord, and ask God for children, because there's so many places in the Bible where ladies did this and God gave them children. So you trust the God who loves you very much and don't quit praying. I always think of Hannah, how God, Hannah herself went to the Lord and prayed, and God gave her Samuel. Amen. So I'm saying to you, fruitfulness is a right, proper thing. It's right for us as Christians to have children and to bring children into the world and help them grow up in the admonition and the nurture of the Lord. Another thing for marriage, for a husband to do, is to protect his wife to the place of laying down his life for her. Now that is scriptural. That's what the Word of God says. And then after he protects her, she, if you look over in Titus, the second chapter, I don't have room to go, or time to go through all of this and really, really go into it deep. But if you go to Titus, the second chapter, you'll find out her then responsibility is to help protect the home, to watch over the home, and to protect the home and see to it that the home goes right while dad's out working. Amen? So again, I'm saying for protection. And then together, they're to protect their children and raise them up in the admonition and the nurture of the Lord. And then, of course, marriage is also typifies Christ and the church. This is something we should never forget, that when God put an illustration of his church in the Bible in Ephesians, he used the illustration of marriage, the husband and the wife. And so it typifies and pictures a wonderful, wonderful thing. So what God is saying to us is, just as Christ could never leave us, we should never leave our partner. Now listen to me. You may have already done that, may have already happened. Don't you think this pastor's down on you? You go from where you are. Now that's what you do. You go from where you are, and it's right and proper to go from where you are. I'm just simply saying the picture God gave us in the Bible was marriage. So marriage is a very, very important picture of Jesus Christ and His church. Now, there'll be some of you here tonight that's young people that you'll be saying, well, Brother Ross, I'm not married. I don't need this message. Well, maybe one of these days you will be. Amen. And if you'll just listen to it, I think it'll help you. You put it in that computer up here, and one of these days when you get married, it'll be a blessing and a help to you as you've tried to do your best to become a good husband and a good wife. I'm going to give you tonight, I'll have to move fairly quickly because we have quite a bit of material I want to cover, but I'm going to give them to you that'll help you and I think it'll be a blessing to you. There's some things, husbands, I'm going to talk to you first. There's some things that a wife needs. She needs certain things in the marriage. She has definite needs. And one of them is she needs the stability and direction of a spiritual leader. Listen to me, men. You want to know what your wife needs? Above all, she needs a man who will be the leader of her home and give spiritual direction and leadership to that home. Now, she needs that. She may not say she needs it. She may not even know she needs it. She may not think about it, but she needs that because that's the way God made her. And what I'm saying to you is she needs to see you desire to seek the Lord. She needs to see that in your life, desiring to seek the Lord and to seek the will of God for your life. She needs to see that. She needs to see convictions in your life that are based on Scripture. She needs to see you as a man setting some convictions, not preferences, but convictions in your life that are based upon the Bible, the Word of God. She needs to see you saying, this is the way we're going to do it because this is what the Bible says. And then convictions, you don't realize what that'll do to a dear wife when she realizes and sees these convictions in your life and you standing up on the Word of God. And not only just saying you have convictions, but determined to follow those convictions. Amen? Men, your wife needs that in her life. And then, of course, she needs you to love her and lead in a loving way. Always, in a loving, gracious, kind way to lead the family. Second thing that she needs is she needs to know that she can provide the need of your life like no other woman on the face of this earth can. You know, you'll hear me because I'm the preacher. You'll hear me mention once in a while, I don't do it too often, I don't want to cause her harm by mentioning her too often. But I'll talk about my wife. And I'll mention something about something she does, this or that. But I want you to listen to me. Every man out here who has a wife has a very special person. And when I say those things, I do not think, and I'm not trying to put my wife up greater than your wife or anybody else. All I'm doing is giving an illustration sometimes about her. Let me say this to you. For me, she's the wife I need. And you can say the very same thing. Amen? So it's not saying, oh, this person is greater than that person, and she's... No, no, no. What we're saying is that the wife that God gave us, I know for me, is the one that I needed. And fulfills the need of my life. Amen? And yours, God wants to give you a sweet wife and has given you a sweet wife, and He wants you to feel the very same way about her. Amen? Because she's a very, very special person. So there's no one else in the whole world that can meet your need like she can. And she needs to know it. She needs to realize that. Amen? Not only that, she needs to hear you cherish her as a person. Not just, boy, I like the way you washed the dishes up. I like the way you kept the house clean today. Boy, you sure took care of the kids today. Give him a spanking when he needed it. Those are all great, wonderful things. But she needs to be knowing that she's very special just for the person she is. Not that she's all of these other things, and she may be all these other things, but just that she's a very special person to you. Amen? See, your wife needs to know that. Amen? Now, listen to me. Listen to me, folks. You can get into these things, and a wife all at once says, boy, he sure don't do that. And he's going to do the same thing to you in just a little while. So don't do that. Think about how you can be better. Husband, think about what you can do to meet the needs of your wife and be a better husband. Think about that, okay? That's what it's designed to do. It's not designed to tear you down. It's designed to lift you up and help you, amen? So you be sure and know, let her know that you cherish her as a person. She's a very special person to you. Not only that, that you understand her limitations and protect her from her limitations. There is not a person sitting out here that doesn't have certain areas of their life where they're limited. They're weak. They have weaknesses. And you need to help her in her weaknesses. You need to help her understand, and in fact, there is times when your wife, listen to this, you're not going to believe this one. There's times when your wife really doesn't want you to say yes to something she's asked for. She wants to hear you say, honey, I don't think that would be good for you or for us. It might be a financial decision. She may ask you for something, and wives, be careful about doing something like that. She may ask you for something that you can't afford. Husband, step up to the bat and say, you know, honey, it wouldn't be good for our financial condition, for our family to do that. It would be better if we just did not do that and say no. Whether you know it or not, that strengthens her. Because she knows she has a leader who loves her and is looking out for her goodwill and for her future. She needs to hear once in a while a no, but it needs to be said in the right and proper way. You see, she needs to know that you love her and her limitations. You even love her limitations, her weaknesses, because that's what's made her up. You know, you didn't marry a perfect person who was perfectly strong in all areas. You married someone who had some weaknesses. Now, we ought to do everything we can to strengthen those weaknesses. Yes, we should. But that's what made her up when you married her. Amen? That's who she was. Yes, we ought to go forth and try to strengthen our weaknesses and do our best, but all of us will have weaknesses till the day we die, because we're human. And we'll have human weaknesses. So help her in those limitations. Not only that, enjoy setting aside time for just conversation with her. Did you know that your wife just wants you sometimes to listen to her? Just listen. Just listen. And she needs to be heard. She may just talk about all kinds of silly things. She may just go on and on, but she needs to say them. And she needs to have someone to say them to. And she needs it at a time when you don't need to be interrupted. She needs to be able to have a time to sit down with you when everything else is put aside. You may have to hunt for that time when you've got 3 or 4 children. But you still need to find that time. And you need to just talk. You may just need to go out on a date and just talk. Amen? And let her say some things that she's just been wanting to say. Maybe small talk, but she needs you to listen to her. Your husbands, your wife needs that. Amen. You know, if we as men, we're so know-it-all sometimes, we've got it all figured out if we won't listen to our wives. And they probably got more figured out than we do a lot of times. So just listen. Doesn't mean you have to do everything they say. Just listen to her. Show her you care enough about her to listen to her. Amen? Not only that, she needs to realize that no matter where she is, you're aware of her presence. She comes into a room, recognize it with a look, a wink. You probably don't notice it. You may not. Now you'll look. But just about every time before I preach, I'll look down at my wife and wink at her. Now, I'm not winking at you. But I'll look down at my wife and I'll just give her a quick wink and she winks back or smiles at me. I can't say what it means to me to have my wife sitting right where I determined where she sits. That's where I want her sitting. And you don't know what that means to me to have her encouragement there. When I get down to real tough preaching, I don't look at you, I look at her. She'll smile at me. See, when I look at her and see all those sour faces and frowns, I immediately just kind of look over at my wife. And she's sitting there smiling at me like I'm the most wonderful guy in the world. Amen? You don't realize how wonderful that is. How it's a help. But she needs to know. And I don't know that I'm not saying what I do is all perfect, but I try to, when she comes into a room, to recognize it by, "Hi, honey." There she'd give her a smile. I want her to know that I'm aware of her presence. I don't want her to think that I'm aware of some other woman's presence. Amen? You see, that's very, very important to a woman. Do you realize that what that does to her when you recognize her when she comes into a room or whatever it might be, and she realizes that her husband recognizes her and gives her a little nod or gives her a little smile or gives her a wink or whatever it is, whatever it might be, that you know what that does for her to build her confidence and encourage her heart? It's important. Now, men, some of you are saying, "Brother Ross, you're getting mushy." Well, it's time you need to get a little mushy. You just may need to come off of that horse and high horse and be a little mushy once in a while. That's your wife. A very, very special person whom God has given you. Amen. Not only that, we need to do everything we can to invest in her life so that she will fulfill her potential in life. There is a lot of women out here who has so much potential and their husbands keep them beat down. I'm not talking about going out. I'm not talking about the potential of being a businesswoman. I'm going to tell you right now, most of that I do not agree with. I'm just telling you right now. I believe God put the place where they ought to be. I believe that with all my heart. But what I am saying is she needs to be developed as a person. And you need to help her be developed as an individual. I believe also in your home, have an understanding. Listen to me, men. Have an understanding what her responsibilities are in the home. Now, let me tell you what is going to happen if you don't. You're going to come home and just keep adding more and more responsibilities to her. And she's going to be flustered. She can't get all done that you want her to get done. She just can't do it. Now, there are certain responsibilities that are already laid out in the Bible. You know what they are as a wife. You know what they are. It's very plain. You are to be the keeper of the home. The Bible says you are. That's what the Bible says. You're to be a keeper of the home. You are to help the children understand what the rules that the father has put down. Go into Proverbs. You'll find that the father puts down the rules and the instructions, and the mother makes them law. So you have certain responsibilities that are laid out for you. It is right for you to bring up the children and teach the children and train the children. That doesn't give him a right not to ever do anything, but that's what God has put upon you. It is right. It's proper. But don't just keep loading it on, men, to the place where she can't keep up. She don't know where to stop. She needs to have some definition of what her responsibilities in the home is, what you expect of each other in the home. And then she feels fulfilled when she's fulfilled that responsibilities. And most of the time, a lady will be happy to do more than she's asked. But you know, when she has done what she's supposed to do, what God has given her to do in the home, she can go and be satisfied and say, you know what, I've done what God wants me to do. I've been the good wife. I've been the good mother today. And she don't have to feel like, because she didn't get everything else accomplished, that she's failed, because she hasn't. Amen? There's so many pressures on men, but also there's so many pressures on ladies today to be everything and to do everything and to be everything. And God never intended that. God never intended that. Folks, don't try to have it all. Don't try to do everything. Just be what the Scripture wants you to be as a good wife and as a good mother. Amen? Now, I'm going to talk to you a few moments on some needs of a husband. I told you I'd get there. A husband needs, I want you to listen to me, a husband needs a wife who respects him. That's what the Scripture says in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. You're to respect your husband. He needs that. He can come home when no one else respects him, or he has absolutely blew it that day. Things has went terrible, but he can come home to a wife that says, honey, I love you, and no matter how much you blew it today, You're my special knight in armor. And you know what? A husband needs that. He needs that very, very much. Let me say to you, wives, husbands are not mind readers. Sometimes we just don't know what you need. Now, you think that we do know, and we should know. And the reason we don't know is because we don't care. But that's not true. Sometimes we just don't know what you need. Another thing is this. Don't be financially independent. Once you listen to this statement I'm going to make, who controls the money controls the leadership. Now you mark it down and you listen to me. If you're a wife and you control the money, you have the reins of leadership in your home. You better mark it down. Don't be financially independent. Don't go out and get a job making more money than your husband and you're just independent of your husband's financial provisions. You're making a big mistake. He needs you to depend on him. Amen. A man wants to make enough money to provide for his family because that's what God gave him to do. Amen. So don't be financially independent, and listen again, who controls the money controls the leadership. Now you mark it down. You give me a wife that controls the money in the home, and I'll guarantee you she's the leader of that home. You better listen to it. She may say she isn't, She may not want to change it and say, oh, he's the one that's... No, he isn't. You control the money. I guarantee you, you control the home. And I've talked to, I think, some of you probably that's sitting here right now. You've heard me as you're getting ready to get married. You've heard me give you some of these very same things. And I've told them in front of their husbands-to-be and wives-to-be, wife, don't you ever, ever put your pastor's leadership ahead of your husband's. And I tell them that. Straightforward. I want you to love your pastor. I want you to realize that pastor is the leadership of the church. And what I say goes around here because that's the way God says it's supposed to be. But I want to tell you something. I'm not the leader in the home. Your husband is. And when you give greater loyalty to someone outside of the home, outside of your husband, you are destroying, helping to destroy him and hurt him terribly. You give more loyalty to a friend or to a relative than you give to your husband, you're absolutely helping to tear that marriage apart. Don't do that. Just don't do that. You know, ladies, you know what the scripture says for you to do about your spiritual questions? Ask your husband at home. Ask your husband. Isn't that right? Go home and ask your husband. You got a spiritual question? Go home and ask your husband. You'll be surprised what he knows. You'll be surprised that if he doesn't know, there's ways for him to find out. The Bible says, wives, if you have a question, go ask your own husband. We want to be biblical, don't we? We want to do this thing scripturally, right? If the Bible says that, then do it. Another thing, don't take matters into your own hands and say, you know, my husband, he just can't do this. I know other husbands can, but he just can't do this. He can't lead. He's not a leader, and so I have to step forward. You rascal, you. You're wanting to go against the Word of God so you can be the leader. And the Word of God has not given you the right to be the leader. I ought to be getting amens from the ladies, but I'm not getting very many. Nowhere in the Bible does God give you the right to be a leader. You say, I know, but my husband just can't. He might be able to do a lot of things if you just step out of the way and do a very, very good job of it. Amen? So don't take matters into your own hands. Give him the leadership. Submit to the leadership of your husband. Your husband needs that. Husband also needs a wife who accepts him as a leader and believes in the God-given position that God has given him. You need to accept him as your leader. You married him. He is the leader of the home. That's a position God gave him. You didn't give it to him. I didn't give it to him. The world didn't give it to him. The preacher who married you didn't give it to him. God gave it to him. The position of leadership, and you need to accept that. And be thankful and grateful that God has given you a leader in the home. Husbands are commanded to govern. Wives are commanded to submit. Now listen to me. You say, oh, Brother Ross, say, no, wait a minute. What does the scripture say? Who's to be the head of the wife? What does the Bible say that a wife should do? Submit to her own husband. Now that's what the Bible says. Now if you want to go around the Bible, you go ahead and go around the Bible. But you're in trouble. The Bible says the wife is to submit to the leadership of her husband, and the husband is put there to be the headship, the governor of the wife. Now isn't that what the Bible says? That's what it says. Now, do you want to go against the Bible? You got a better way? Your way's better? No. That's what God has said in His Word. Let me give you an idea. Let me tell you something. A man is disqualified from having church leadership if his wife does not submit to his leadership. He cannot serve in leadership capacity if his wife is not a submissive wife. She disqualifies him. So if you're determined to be the leader in your home, ladies, remember this. He can never be in any leadership capacity in the church. You have disqualified him. Amen. Another thing a husband needs is to have his wife praise him rightly and not foolishly, but say kind and gracious things about him. He needs to hear it. He hears all the world. He hears all that stuff every day. He needs a wife that'll come home and say, "Thank you, honey. You know, you're such a good husband. Thank you for what you've done. You went out, worked hard today. Thank you for that." You don't have to do that every day of your life, but thank you. Praise him for the good husband that he's been. He needs to hear that. You need also to be very patient with him during adversities of life. Adversities is going to come to every family in this auditorium. If it hadn't already come, it will. And you need to be very patient and helpful to him as these adversities come. Remember two things. I always tell husband and wife getting ready to get married. Remember something. A man has a long view of things. He stands back, he looks at it, and he looks way down the road, and he stops and he ponders. The woman has a shorter view. She wants something done now. He looks down the road and says, "I've got to think about this and get it done when I can. I've got to give it some thought." And the reason God made you both like that is to counterbalance you. So that the husband won't wait too long and the wife won't jump to too many conclusions and get it done before they should have. That's the reason God did it. That's the way God made us. That's the way we are. And God made us that way. And it's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. But realize and understand, be patient with him. Don't be on his case all the time. Don't be like water on a rock. You'll wear him away. But I'll tell you what to do in just a moment. We'll get there. Amen. Be enthusiastic for his achievements. Say, "Honey, boy, that's great. That's great. Isn't that wonderful? Boy, you done good." Amen? And something else. Be attentive to him when he's talking. Don't interrupt him all the time. Quit interrupting me. Let him talk once in a while, too. When he's wanting to tell you something, listen. Like he's the most important person in the world and he's telling you the most important thing that you ever heard. Amen? That's important. It's important to him. It may not be important to you, but it's important to him. That you're being attentive to him and you're not interrupting him. Let him talk. He also needs a wife who will continue to develop inwardly and outwardly. In other words, don't become a slob. That's my words. Do your best to develop as a very special person inwardly and outwardly. You don't have to be beautiful. That's not where it's at. But look neat. For your husband, not for somebody else. Just look neat for your husband. Let me say this too. I don't know what to do here because I'm going to get tomatoes thrown at me. Huh? Yeah.
Honey, please, thank you.
But I'm going to say it anyway. You know me, honey. Whether you realize it or not, ladies, listen to this. The way your home looks is a symbol of His leadership. Uh-huh. Yes, it is. Now you say, well, Brother Ross, I can't keep everything straight. I didn't say you could. But you ought not to have a filthy home and a messy home, because that's a symbol of your husband's leadership, and that really says something about your husband. Really says something about him. He's not controlling things. Now, you say, Brother Ross, you mean it has to be perfect? Of course not. You got children? You know it's not going to be perfect. We raised 4 children. So I know all about that. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking that they ought to have a semblance of neatness. It ought to have a semblance of some order in it somewhere. It ought not just be let go. That's what I'm talking about. You know why? Because that speaks of the leadership of that home. Now, wives, a husband needs that. Listen to me. Not trying to be mean to you. But your husband needs a nice, neat as possibly can be, place to come home to. When he gets off work and comes home, he needs a place where he can come in and sit down and feel relaxed and enjoy just being there. He needs that. Now you say, Brother Ross, that's not the way I do things. Then you need to start doing it. You can change. You can be different. You can correct it. Amen? Don't let that be a terrible testimony of your husband's leadership. The Bible says the basis of beauty is a meek and quiet spirit. We talked about looking nice a while ago. It's not a matter you have to look beautiful. I think you need to look neat for your husband, just neat. But the greatest thing in the world you could have is a meek and quiet spirit. 1 Peter, 3rd chapter, that's what the Bible says. It's not what the preacher's saying. It's what the Bible says. Meek and quiet spirit. Meekness speaks of yielding your rights. Yielding your rights. And not be fretting and worrying about everything under the sun. When he comes home, things has got bad. Financial disaster has hit. Don't scream at him. Say, honey, we'll make it through. We'll make it. It'll be all right. It's okay. That's that meek and quiet spirit. So, honey, I know that you'll take care of it. I know that God has given you as our leader. You'll do all right. We'll work together. We'll do whatever's necessary to do. But we'll get out of this. We'll work it together on it. Amen. You know what that does for a husband? Well, I want to tell you something. For a wife who would scream and holler, what are we going to do? Why don't you make more money? Just kills him. Cuts him apart. Amen? Here, I told you I'd get to it. Say, what do I do when I think he's not maybe doing the right thing or maybe not leading the right way? Kindly and lovingly appeal to him. God has given the wife the right to appeal to her husband. You know what? Wives are very smart. And sometimes they do see things that husbands do not see. God's truth. So say to him, honey, have you ever thought about this? Do you ever think about this maybe this way? Maybe we could do it this way. And I know you're our leader. And whatever you decide is okay. But would you at least give this some thought and think about it? And That's called appealing to your husband. And you'd be surprised what that does. Most of the time, we're willing to really think about that, rather than telling what to do, bossing around. You're going to ruin marriage if you do that. You say, well, we've got a good marriage and I'm the boss. No, you don't have a good marriage. You just think you do. No, you don't. You don't know what your husband's feeling. And he probably won't tell you, but you don't know what your husband's feeling. If you're the boss of the home, your husband feels belittled. Amen. Another thing, wives, husbands need some time alone to go fishing. No, I mean to be with the Lord. He needs some time to just spend alone with the Lord. Don't be so controlling over his time that you never give him time to just be somewhere and be thinking about some things, what God wants him to do. Do you know that one of the great reasons we have so many problems, men are so busy. They're caught up into the affairs of life, and it's just a busy place, going. And they don't have time to be quiet and know that he is God. They just need time to talk with God. Don't keep them so busy that they don't have that time. Give them some time to do that. Amen? I didn't say all the time. I didn't say days. I said give him some time to speak with the Lord and get alone with the Lord. Another thing is, be very grateful for all that he has done and is doing. Just be thankful. Just be grateful. A thankful spirit, a thankful heart, will be surprised what that will do for a marriage. Amen? And lastly, a wife who will be praised by others for her good character and good works. Proverbs 31st chapter. You read that whole chapter, you'll find out that the man of that was could be nothing but proud of his wife because of all of the things that people would say about her and what kind of a person she was, and her character was good and her work. She was a hard worker. She needs to be praised. You need to be praised by other people. In other words, people recognize the fact that you are doing right and you are a good wife and a good mother. Not that you're a perfect wife, not that you're a perfect mother, but that you've got good character about you and you're a godly person. Husbands need that from his wife. So you say, Brother Ross, what do I do? Husbands and wives, you work on these things. If you'll get a copy of this tape and listen to it, these are things that will help you. You won't remember all of them if you didn't write them down. You won't remember all of them. But you ought to get a copy of the tape and just play it over and think about those things, how you could be a better wife or a better husband. And make your marriage a sweet, sweet, as God would have it to be. Amen? Now, I just wanted to help you tonight and give you some things that I believe would help you. It's not to condemn you. It's to help you. And those who maybe failed in some areas are feeling kind of like, well, I blew it. Well, don't feel that way. You can correct it. Whether you're a man or a wife, you can correct that. And you can be better than you are. You can make your family life sweeter than it's ever been. Amen? I guarantee you it's a sweet thing to have a good family life. Just nothing in the world like it. Nothing ever will be like it. Go home and be able to have sweet fellowship with your wife and husband. Enjoy being together. Enjoy the life that God has given you. I wouldn't want to live a life that didn't have that joy in it. It, to me, would not be worth living. You really wouldn't. And there's no need for it to be that way. God has a plan. And it can be sweet, can be good. I trust it's helped you in just a few ways. Heavenly Father, thank you again today for the grace of God. Thank you for your goodness and kindness to us. And thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you for these things we've looked at tonight. Help us as husbands to be good husbands, Father, to be better than we've been before. Help the wives to be good wives, better than they've ever been before. And Lord, that we'll just have a marriage that'll be sweet and good. No, not without its problems. No, not without its difficulties from time to time. But Lord, a marriage that is right and proper and good in the eyes of the Lord. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.